Harry tells me you're quite the science whiz. You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Test coming number three. All right, everybody, welcome into the podcast. It's just us and the pigeons. We're Matt and Bob. We're here to pod about Inside, but more importantly, analysis Hall of Fame actor Willem Dafoe and his illustrious career. Bob, what do you think?
What's going on? Living in the Hall of Fame. You know that song, the Hall of Fame song? Living in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Never heard it.
Yeah, that's I think the only part I know about it, but it'll be in the post edit here.
Okay, so. Great. You're not gonna go Macarena for the post
edit? Really? What a funny song to have play.
I would immediately shut my fridge when I hear that song playing. That's a great use.
This man is completely broken at the absolute end of his rope, sucking ice particles.
And he gets into it. By the end, he can only enjoy Macarena once you've lost your mind and have nothing to live for, or nothing else holding you on.
Yeah.
That is the movie Inside, kind of a sneaky, under-the-radar movie drop. I think it's in theaters, I guess, but it's also early access, $20 straight to streaming. I mean, it came out amongst juggernauts, Creed 3, then John Wick 4, and then this behemoth Mario Brothers, which just raked in $300 million, and at the same time as Air, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, which I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen yet. But yeah. What a time to come out with a redo of Castaway, but set in a Manhattan high-rise. I mean, tough break.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny that when you're saying it like that, it's this weird movie about our dependency on technology or the role technology plays in our life. Sometimes the way you have to deconstruct something in order to make art, and I think some of the human process is in there. It feels like he slowly devolves in evolution almost. He becomes almost like a caveman, and it's this kind of art house fart sniffer type of a movie. There's all these, they're just massive blockbusters, and where I found this was on Stream, and it just feels like that's where movies like this are going now.
Yeah, there's almost no point in... I obviously, they kind of threw up their hands and like, oh, let's just throw it on the streaming service.
Yeah.
But $20. We'll see what we can get out of it.
I mean, Willem Dafoe is in the Hall of Fame. And when I was watching this, I thought, you know, who we talk about the Hall of Fame, but we really haven't put any specific nominees or candidates into the Hall. But I think for sure he's in. Also Ben Foster.
These aren't even our favorite actors. They're just batshit crazy people that always go for it.
Yeah, and so we just really love and respect that.
I kind of like it as a very niche kind of like four-person, just the Hall of Fame of batshit crazy actors.
Okay, yeah. So okay, we can do that then. So you really have to do some crazy shit in order to make the Hall of Fame.
Willem Dafoe has been in over 100 movies. Most of these I haven't seen. We're going to do a quick... What, you want to do like a top five and then talk about the movie more, or do we want to do the movie first?
Yeah, let's do the movie and then we'll come back and reminisce.
So I just finished this like 5 minutes ago, and
it's the best time to do a review, fresh off the...
It's quite an endurance test for the actor, the character, and the audience. Mm-hmm. Like, I was all set. When I saw the preview for this, I was like, Willem Dafoe locked in a big house, just going crazy, just... knocking on the walls.
The trailer is thrilling.
Yeah.
Whoever did the trailer should be nominated for Best Trailer of the Year. Because it really does intrigue
me. It's like that guy from Entourage who did like the Medellin trailer and it ripped,
really, but
the movie,
nice.
The movie sucked. I was like, oh my God, this is like, yeah, let's go. This looks incredible. But it's like so plotting and artsy. And it's like, I don't know any of these art pieces, even if they're real. I didn't get any of it. But it is, I kind of wish I had my $20 back, to be honest. It's not a great hang. And no. Like after 10 minutes, you're like, all right. I kind of just wanted to And you got, it's an hour and 45. It's not like it's super long. It just feels like a slog. And then just like, how is he actually going to get out of here? I'm kind of, is there so many twists coming on?
And also there's not a lot explained about why the house is the way it is. I know that the filmmaker is trying to make a criticism of technology and our dependency on it and how it's become godly in our...
The smart home falters and he's trapped in his own personal
And that could
hell.
Really be anybody. Like, if the smart home faltered even on the owner of the house, right?
If the
keypad doesn't start to work and all of a sudden you got the temperature going all the way up to 110 degrees and then down to sub-temperatures and you run out of supplies and anyway.
Yeah, like, because none of the flowing water, the water turned off for some reason. Was that a security measure? Yeah, mm-hmm. the outside phone wasn't working. I mean, they kind of exhausted all the things. We're like, well, you know, obviously you would try this, you would try that. And it just wasn't working for some unexplained reason.
Thing. Yeah, and then there's not like a ton of trial and error in terms of other ways to get out of the house, I guess.
He focuses on building sort of like a... an obelisk. It kind of reminded me of like 2001 Space Odyssey, where like he forgot that he knows how to build a fire, and then he's building this structure almost like this kind of gateway to heaven sort of a thing. And he spends most of the movie sort of trying to get this sunlight.
Yeah, open. That's his greatest creation is the escape route. You know, and rightfully so. And, you know, it's almost like this, you have to deconstruct things. And there's obviously comments on art as well, because he keeps talking about my cat Groucho and my AC/DC that I loaned to this guy. You know, like the art is what stays
around. He's an art thief, but a budding artist. And it wasn't until he's stripped to his bones and like completely hits rock bottom that he's able to rediscover his art. Yeah, I get all that. And like a lot of the self-portrait stuff and the looking inward. I don't know. If I really strained, I could kind of see what they were going for. And some of it is obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he could have been saved much earlier, but the younger generation is always on their phones with headphones in. They're completely, you know, taken out of real life. I kind of got a lot of that, but at the same time, it was kind of needed to move. I was hoping for more of a thrilling element.
Yes.
Although I get that it's not. What was that David Fincher movie? Panic Room. Yeah, Panic Room, and that was not a great movie, but it was a bit more thrilling. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the reverse of that. But like, why didn't the homeowner come home?
For years. For seasons.
It was at least a few seasons. So he's there for a while, and then we see 4th of July happen, and then it starts to snow in Manhattan. That's got to be like October.
It goes from at least spring through the winter.
Yeah. It's like 6 months, and he's like living off of dog food and just soaking pasta. I guess you could. And then he's collecting the water. I guess I could see how he was surviving. God, the smell, though, of just him, like, dumping in that...
the bathtub.
The bathtub. Oh.
Yeah, part one of his... I think that was one of the creations that he was alluding to. He said, I left you three creations. You have the wall art, you have the escape route, and then you have the bathtub full of shit.
I didn't clock that. I thought he was talking about I saved three of your art pieces, right? He's talking about like the two important ones that he went there to, or the three ones that he went to steal. He protected them from the water, but yeah, if he
I was
left
thinking
him his
the creations.
Oh, okay. If he left him his pile of shit, that's
I guess hilarious. My question was just out of the gate: who's hiring this 70-year-old man to burglarize homes?
I know.
Like, couldn't you find a more abled man? This is an old man. Like, Willem Dafoe is not a young dude. He was in his, what, 30s when he was in Platoon, and that was made in the mid-80s. I mean, this dude's old enough.
Yeah, he's been around.
He doesn't need to be in there burglarizing these houses.
Maybe just because he's, like, the best. You know, he's, like, a long-time burglar. I kind of liked the part where he gets in through the bird netting, and then it also traps this bird, and he watches the pigeon die and then get feasted on by maggots. It was That was kind of cool.
For me, it was the it felt like a descent. It felt like a de-evolution, like I was saying. And you've got like him discovering fire at a certain point, how he can use the light to make fire. He's the drawings that he was making on the walls seemed almost like caveman. It seemed like very so I was like, oh, there's some sort of like he's talking a lot about deconstruction. He's like deconstructing himself and almost walking backwards in his evolution.
And then at some point he discovers a secret passageway where, you know, the prized portrait hangs in green light, and there's like this weird kind of mummy puppet figures laying
very
there.
Very strange.
Guarding what is, I assume, is similar to, I think it's something about like the marriage infernal. It reminded me of Dante's Infernal, but it's not that. It was something else about, I think, the descent into hell. I think there was something in there.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about.
I think even just in one of the paintings, you see he almost sees himself as the likeness of as the devil. So
yeah, right next to like all these dildos flowing in and out of various women, and then he's like right next to over the devil's shoulder, screaming. Yeah, there was a likeness there. The movie had its moments. It's just I was kind of checking my watch quite a few times, and right about the 45-minute mark, I was like, all right, how much longer we got here? It was like a full hour. I'm like, oh. It could have used a little trimming. But not terrible. I mean, you know, you got Willem Dafoe going for it, which
are you
is
gonna
always nice.
Are you going to recommend this to anybody?
No.
No.
Only people that are seeking this out will even get any sort of enjoyment out of it at all. Just for the curiosity to see Willem Dafoe bouncing off the walls in a near silent movie.
Which it does kind of feel like that's a genre. Willem Dafoe, nuts movie. After The Lighthouse, it's kind of become a marketable genre. And yeah. I think the Spider-Man, like, people love him going nuts.
After The Lighthouse is when he entered his full-on bonkers batshit phase. And usually he just, like, parachutes into these movies as, like, a five-minute guest star and just compacts this energy into like a few lines of dialogue, and it's hilariously unhinged. I'm thinking, of course, of like The Northman.
Northman, yeah.
And Nightmare Alley. Mm-hmm. Something like these.
You're gonna geek.
I think that's where I like my Willem Dafoe now. I don't need him as like a lead starring man. I kind of want him in these guest star playing these Hobbit fool Shakespearean characters, just people that are just living under a bridge for every second we don't see him on screen.
Speaking of Shakespearean, he is the member of, I can't remember the name of the specific, it's a New York theater troupe, but he one time, I was doing research in college on the play Harry Ape, which is just, I've always thought the play was really interesting. And apparently he was Yank in a production of Harry Ape. And just looking at the pictures from the production, I've always been like, man, I wish I could have a little time machine and gone back and seen Willem Dafoe. Because that's kind of a character that drives himself insane, right? And okay. So I think it's like, I think that would have been a really interesting production to see. But again, he's like, he's very theatrical. He's very Shakespearean. He like feels like he would be a lot of fun to watch in a live production.
Oh, totally. Yes. Such a, such an interesting look. I was actually surprised to learn that he was, what, born in Wisconsin? Or he's certainly American.
We got to do our research.
I had no idea.
Yeah. The Worcester Group. That's the name of the theater group that he was in. But yeah, it looks like there's like a couple of short like promotional videos. But look at these pictures of him in the Harry Ape. It looks like a blast.
Yeah, no, I need to check that out. I mean, what a great on-screen or like a on-stage presence. Just like his energy is so barely contained in movies, but obviously he's made over 100 and it works. But yeah, like to your point, I would love to see him in on stage at some point. Do you want to kind of like touch on some of his career highlights a little bit?
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Should we start off with like our top five performances, and we can kind of talk about maybe some honorable mentions in and around?
Okay, I want to do mine first. And I have no reason why.
We'll start number five. We'll go back and forth. How about that?
Number five, and I went with, first of all, I was torn between, do I pick my favorite movies that he's in, or do I pick my favorite versions of Willem Dafoe? And I went Willem Dafoe because I want to talk about some crazy shit. So first of all, I picked Boondock Saints. The detective in Boondock Saints. Have you seen?
There was a firefight.
Okay.
So yeah, I have that up as number two.
Ooh, you're all the way up there. Okay.
That movie was badass. I loved it when it came out, and that's pretty iconic Dafoe. I mean, it's very quotable. He's completely unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
But speak on it.
It was a fun movie. I know that it had definitely has a cult following, and it was done in really fun ways where you kind of see him walking the crime scene first, and then they kind of almost Tarantino it and replay it back to where you see it happening. And I love
those scenes where he's reenacting it, but then we jump to the past to see it happen.
Yeah, and he does like the crossfire and stuff, and mm-hmm. you can see how he's working the case and stuff. But yeah, he's nuts. He gets more and more nuts as he goes along. He's also in drag at a certain point.
Yes,
there's good shit in there.
Guy's having a blast doing that movie.
What did you have number four?
Number five is I went Spider-Man, Green Goblin.
Okay, I have Spider-Man number two.
Okay, so we swapped those. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm something of a scientist myself. I love that meme.
Of a scientist myself.
That was when I loved the Spider-Man movies. I mean, not
the Sam Raimi three. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when, you know, that was before before the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and those Spider-Man movies were awesome. The games were cool. It was like mm-hmm. GTA, but with Spider-Man, Toby. You know, I mean, that's why No Way Home kind of bugged me, because it's like Toby Maguire is still kind of like my Spider-Man, you know what I mean? And the other ones are just like world building. That was back when like the individual movies kind of mattered a bit mm-hmm. more. And Spider-Man's great, and he's like one of the greatest villains in any comic book movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get it was such a great get too, like this incredibly acclaimed actor to play.
Who looks like a goblin.
Yeah.
He looks like it. That's why everyone was like, when he comes out in the No Way Home and he's got the purple hood on and he's doesn't have the mask anymore, and they just let his face do all the work.
Right.
He was already a goblin. Like, why did we put a mask on him? So yeah, it just the crazy, the maniacal laughing, the talking to himself. I mean, it's classic, right up the line Dafoe.
Yeah. I mean, that's your number two. Anything else stick out for you?
So my number four, I had three movies because a couple of them might have been vetoed. So I had Finding Nemo, insane fish in the fish tank that's been there so long he's losing his mind in the dentist's office there, helping Nemo as well. But in case you were like, that doesn't count, that's animated. I had The Northman, which was the insane fool who had a dildo, and he was, you know, basically a talking head for half the movie. But if you were like, he wasn't in that enough, then I had Antichrist, which he's in a ton, and that movie's fucking nuts as well. So I never even saw
Antichrist, just because, like, the trailer alone, like, freaked me out. I was like, that's probably too much.
It's hardcore. I was one time at a buddy's house in Chicago, and you know, there were some people over, and they were like, Antichrist, what's this about? And I was like, it's too hardcore, you guys will hate this. And the more I tried to sell them off of it, the more it motivated them to watch it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's hard for me to say because I'm seeing it back in my brain, but there's a scene where his wife loses his mind, forces him to have sex with her, and then bashes his erect penis with a rock, then masturbates it to where he ejaculates, but it's also filled with like pus and blood.
That's awful.
And then she takes a pair of rusty shears and cuts off a part of her reproductive system. So it was absolutely grotesque in a way. And I mean, that was like the big buildup, but it's there's just a lot of weird shit that happens along the way, which is really troubling as well. So Lars von Trier, he's just fucked up, and yeah, it's a tough watch, but he's nuts. It's Dafoe the way you know him and love him.
Yeah, that's him at his like most Defoe. I guess it's like him on the Ben Foster scale.
Yeah.
In God, I forget that movie. Where Ben Foster just where they're like the downed team of SWAT.
Last man standing.
Yeah, last man standing. Yeah, like where he was just a completely off the rails. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never saw that, but that was kind of that trailer came out, and you're like, this is the perfect guy for this. This is him at an 11. Mm-hmm. Lars von Trier. Well, the sexaholic movies and
Nymphomaniac.
Yeah, those were really weird movies.
And Melancholia, I think he did this one. Anyway, yeah, he does some thought provoking but disturbing movies. Yeah.
My number four, I had a little double up as well. I love the call on. You can almost pair Nightmare Alley with Northman and have that be like his guest starring roles that we talked about, where he dives in and just goes nuts. But I had a kind of the opposite way, where him working under Wes Anderson for Life Aquatic.
I had that number three. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Life Aquatic as Klaus, that could probably stand alone. I kind of paired it with Grand Budapest, where he has a much smaller role, mm-hmm. and he doesn't speak in it as well. But just kind of him with Wes Anderson, I always enjoy.
To a lesser extent.
He just threw out my cat. I think he's having a lot of fun in those. He plays like these like, well, the menacing guy in Grand Budapest, but the.
He's like the heavy in Grand.
Yeah, he's a hitman. And then Klaus is just such a great iconic cult classic character. I mean, him and Bill Murray are in the conversation for pushing that movie to like favorite Wes Anderson.
It's both definitely in my top as well. And I just love the B team conversation.
Oh yeah.
Thanks a lot, Steve. But you're the leader of the B team.
Thank you for not picking me.
Such a good scene.
What was your number four? You said the
three. I had movies, all those movies. I just kind of rattled them all off just because I wanted to say them.
Number three?
Yeah. So I'll just give you all of mine in a row here. So it was Boondock Saints and then the Nemo, Antichrist, Northman, take your pick. Life Aquatic, Spider-Man, and then I brought it home with number one, which is Lighthouse.
Yeah, Lighthouse is my number one as well. That's the perfect kind of marriage of him going nuts, but also maybe dialed back just a skosh.
You call that dialed back?
Well, if you compare it to I think Boondock, he goes further, but Antichrist is probably more so. But no, that's... Gosh, just again, him masturbating in front of the lighthouse. That movie is so funny, and it's kind of it's really fucked up and dark. But I find it so hilarious as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your goddamn farts.
Why'd you spill your beans? Any time where he gets to talk in like a cavernous space and his echo is rattling through someone's brain. It's just like any time someone has some sort of inner monologue or they have to cast Willem Dafoe to do those.
His Fool character was such an extension of this Lighthouse character.
Mm-hmm. He already had the beard, so they might as well just
throw the him dark, in. Gravelly voice. Yeah, same director as well, Robert Eggers. Didn't even think about that. But yeah, Lighthouse with my favorite Robert Pattinson movie as well, or performance. We skipped over my number three, which is Platoon. That was kind of one of the first movies I saw Willem Dafoe in, and he's obviously great in that, Oscar or nominated.
It's kind of the famous scene from that is him with his arms in the air, like getting blown apart during that fight.
Yeah, well, he's running to the chopper, but he's late, and he gets like lit up by the Viet Cong, and he's just like, and he like. Yeah, that's
he falls to his knees, and yeah, so it's the and then they parody it in Tropic Thunder. Ben Stiller's trying to do it, and it, you know, he's a shitty actor and stuff. But yeah, it's kind of the iconic moment from that movie.
What did we miss? I mean, I kind of liked him in John Wick, the first one, to kind of maybe lead into our conversation, and we'll have it a little while here. But because he kind of grounds that movie, right? Which is kind of an odd. Mm-hmm. role where he kind of comes in as the and the first John Wick, it's set in real life more. Mm-hmm. And he kind of plays like a detective. He's like, oh my god, right? If I'm remembering that right.
I actually have a really hard time remembering any specific plots from any of the John Wicks.
Yeah, they're kind of getting lost in the sauce a little. But we can get to that. Shadow of a Vampire, I've never seen, and he was Academy Award nominated for that.
Is that that's the one where he's the he's almost like the Nosferatu guy?
Yeah.
Which is another perfect, he looks like Nosferatu. So not a handsome man, but I appreciate
interesting,
that.
Interesting face.
Yeah.
Yeah, At Eternity's Gate, I don't remember seeing where he plays Vincent van Gogh.
I never saw that, but I can assume he was nuts.
Yeah, I think I might have missed that one. I know you like Florida Project. I've never seen that one.
Yeah, that was one that I was like, do I go with the movie or do I go with the performances? Because I did really like Florida Project, and I think he was nominated for it. But yeah, he plays this, it's this woman who's kind of homeless, I guess you could say. And it's this, it's, he runs this hotel or kind of like motel that you can't live in, but it's affordable housing, so he's always just dealing with kind of these vagabonds, and he's protecting the kids from the street, and he's kind of just this in guy who's trying to help people that are down and out on their luck. And it's a slice of life movie, but he's really good in it.
Yeah, it's kind of when he's actually kind of flexing his acting chops and not just like playing a crazy guy. He's just super versatile, and he's obviously great in that, in those roles. I mean, like Clear and Present Danger, he kind of plays opposite Harrison Ford as like the CIA guy.
He plays a good CIA guy. Yeah,
he in an American Psycho, he kind of plays the straight man as like the detective again. He kind of plays like a lot of detectives to varying degrees of insanity, but
that's a good way to say it. But
just a solid career, and we always like seeing him kind of go for it. So for that reason, we were intrigued by Inside, but it just didn't really come off. Not a terrible movie, just kind of boring, I think.
Yeah, but keep trying, Willem. We'll always be here for you.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll cut it there, and we'll see you next time when we chat a little John Wick.
John Wick! Hey!